Today on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, we'll discover what it really means to be filled by the Holy Spirit.
Did you know every Christian has the Holy Spirit living inside? Every Christian has the Holy Spirit resident, but not every Christian has the Holy Spirit president. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit residing in their lives, but not every Christian has the Holy Spirit presiding in his or her life. It's the difference between being filled or being foolish. So today we want to really dive into the subject of being filled with the Spirit.
There tends to be much confusion today about who the Holy Spirit is and what his function within the Godhead is. We hear that we ought to somehow be filled with the Spirit of God. But what does that practically mean in our day-to-day lives? This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and he's currently in his extended 9-message series, The Unknown God, discovering the person and power of the Holy Spirit. And we're discovering what the mystery is all about and clearing up some incredible misconceptions. What does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? How does that really manifest itself in our lives? We're happy you joined us today for the lesson, Filled or Foolish? Now, this is a topic that many people want to better understand, and we'll be taking 2 days to complete what is this 4th message in the series. Also, the whole series is our thank you gift for your support of any amount this month in the format of your choice. More about that later. But now, turn to the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians as Pastor Jeff Shreve begins to help us better understand the Holy Spirit and whether we are actually filled with it or just foolish.
Did you know, the Bible makes this very clear, every Christian has the Holy Spirit living inside. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit resident, but not every Christian has the Holy Spirit president. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit residing in their lives, but not every Christian has the Holy Spirit presiding in his or her life. It's the difference between being filled or being foolish. Now, sad reality. A.W. Tozer said this so many years ago. He said, you know, in the average church, the average congregation, so much of what takes place doesn't require the power of the Holy Spirit. He went on to say this, if the Holy Spirit were removed from the church, 95% of what we do would still go on and no one would know the difference. What a sad commentary. He went on to say this, in the New Testament church, that we read about in Scripture. He said if the Holy Spirit had been removed from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop immediately and everyone would notice. They depended upon the Holy Spirit, and we tend so often to not depend upon Him because we don't know, because we don't understand, because we are just so complacent so much of the time in our Christianity. So today we want to really dive into the subject of being filled with the Spirit. And as we do, I want everyone to look within. Ephesians chapter 5, begin reading in verse 15. The Apostle Paul says this, he's writing from prison. This is one of the 4 prison epistles, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, and Ephesians, all written from his first Roman imprisonment. He says in verse 15, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, of your opportunity, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. I want us to notice 3 discoveries today from this passage of Scripture, this great passage of Scripture. Discovery number 1. As it relates to being filled or foolish, let's talk about foolish. The foolish can be placed into 2 categories. Foolish are into two categories. Now, when the scripture says, do not be foolish, the word for foolish can also be translated mindless, ignorant, stupid, rash, unbelieving, senseless, egotistic. Don't be like that. Don't be mindless. Don't be foolish in how you respond to the Lord. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, the foolish can be placed into two categories, two kinds of foolish people. And no doubt in this congregation, no doubt people watching live streaming, watching on television, listening on radio, people are in two categories if you are in the foolish group. Fools can be put into two categories. First of all, there's the complete fool, and then there's the Christian fool. So let's talk about the complete fool first. The complete fool is the person who rejects and ignores the salvation found only in Jesus Christ. We would call that person a complete and utter fool because it's so foolish and senseless and stupid to reject the Lord Jesus Christ, the God who loves you, the God who died for you, who bled for you on the cross, who rose again from the dead. To reject him makes absolutely no sense at all. It's a foolish thing to do. And the scripture bears that out because Jesus told a parable about the wise builder and the foolish builder. Remember, we sing that little song, the wise man built his house upon the rock, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. And Jesus said, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, he's a wise builder who built his house upon a rock, and the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and burst against his house, but it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them, he is a foolish builder. He is the man who built his house on the sand, and the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Foolish because he heard, but he didn't respond. He didn't build on what the Lord said. He didn't do what the Lord said to do. Jesus told another parable about a rich man who had so much come in that his barns couldn't hold it all. And he said, what am I going to do? I have more grain than I know what to do with. I know what I'll do. I'll build bigger barns. And then I will have everything set up and I'll have all my grain set up in my bigger barns. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And the Lord said to him, you fool, for tonight your soul is required of you. So is the man, Jesus said, who is rich in this world and is not rich toward God, a fool. So the utter fool is the person who rejects Christ or just ignores Christ. You know, sometimes we get the idea that, well, you know, I'm not a rejecter. I'm not shaking my fist in the face of God. Well, you don't have to do that. You just have to kind of blow him off. You just kind of have to ignore him. You like the Doobie Brothers. You just tip your hat to him and say, well, Jesus is just all right with me, but I'm not very interested in following you. I mean, you're okay, but I'm going to go this way. You're a fool if you do that, because that way always ends up in destruction and ultimately in hell. So that's the first category, is complete fools. Second category of fools is what we'll call the Christian fool. The Christian fool is a person who rejects or ignores the filling of the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit. This is the person who has received Christ, but he's not letting Christ lead him by his Spirit. Let me put it to you this way. Here's a picture of the complete fool. It's a diagram that shows what this person's life is like. The complete fool, Christ is outside the life, self is on the throne of life, and those circles are interests that are directed by self. They result in discord and frustration. This person's never received Christ. They're a complete fool. This is the Christian fool. He has received Christ, he or she, but Christ isn't calling the shots. Self is still on the throne. This isn't a self-centered life, but it's a self-directed life. And the interests are directed by self, and there is frustration there, and there's futility there, and there's discord there, and Christ is dethroned and not allowed to direct this person's life. Now, lots of Christians live like that. A Christian fool. They're not being led by the Holy Spirit, trying to live the Christian life in the power of self. That will never work. I like what one preacher said, the Christian life is not hard, it's impossible. No one can live it other than Jesus, by his Spirit. And he wants to live it through you. Now, we all remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night he was betrayed, he was praying. And he wanted his disciples to pray with him. He said, remain here with me, watch and pray. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away from them about a stone's throw, and he fell down on his face, and he began to pray so earnestly. And there was so much pressure on him that the capillaries in his face broke, and he began to sweat drops of blood. And his prayer three times, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, not my will, but thine be done. That was his prayer. Not my will, but thine be done. Now, the Christian fool is the one who doesn't mouth these words, but lives these words, not thy will, but mine be done. But mine be done. And I'm going to sit on the throne of my life, and I'm going to do what I want to do. And yes, Jesus, I believe in you. And yes, Jesus, I've trusted you as Savior and as Lord, but I don't want you to be Lord right now because I want to direct my own life. That's the foolish person. And the Christian fool describes so many people in the church. So that's the first discovery. The foolish can be placed into two categories. Discovery number two, the filled understand the will of the Lord. So then, verse 17, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? Well, the will of the Lord is that you not be a complete fool. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to know him. He wants you to have him in your life. He wants to live inside of you. That's the will of the Lord. He's not willing, the scripture says, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, he's not willing, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is good and acceptable, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, what is the will of the Lord? That you sitting here today, that you watching today, that you listening today would come to know Jesus Christ and be saved. That's the will of the Lord. But also the will of the Lord is not only that you'd be saved, but that you would be spirit-filled. Spirit-filled. So don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. That is a waste. That is going to result in your ruin. But be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, what does that mean, to be filled with the Spirit? The will of God is that you be filled. God wants you to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit means that you are controlled by the Holy Spirit. And the way you know that that's what he is referring to is because he uses a contrast with getting drunk. Do not get drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't get drunk with wine, it's a contrast. Well, I'm not supposed to do this, but I am supposed to do that. Well, why the contrast with getting drunk with wine? Well, for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's because in the pagan worship, they would often get drunk, because they said that that connected them to their pagan gods. And so they would drink and drink and drink. And they said the more drunk you were, the more you would commune with your gods. You know, some of the places in that you can go to in Israel, we went to Beth Shan in Israel, and there are a lot of the ruins there from this city. And in their theater, their auditorium there, they had a special place called the vomitorium, where you would drink and eat and drink and eat and drink and eat until you couldn't have any more, and then you go to the vomitorium to vomit so you could drink and eat some more. Pretty gross, isn't it? But they would get drunk with wine because that, they said, well, that's going to get us closer to our gods. Do not get drunk with wine, Paul is saying. That's not going to get you close to God. And the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker and strong drink a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. What does the Bible say here? Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. So don't get drunk with wine. He uses that as a contrast. Don't do that. But then he also uses it as a comparison, because we all know that when a person gets drunk with whatever alcohol, wine, beer, hard liquor, whatever it is, when you're drunk, it changes you, changes the way you act, changes the way you react, changes what you say. You lose needed inhibitions when you get drunk. Now, I have had the shameful experience in my life of being drunk. Being drunk on many occasions when I was a high school student, not even old enough to drink, but I was getting drunk, wasn't a Christian, and that's just what we did. We would go out on weekends and we would get drunk. And man, I did some stupid things. And it's by the grace of God that I'm still alive, based on some of the things I did, getting behind a wheel, inebriated, and passing people on a curve and things like that. I still relive some of those things and just shudder and just say, God, you're so good to me that I didn't die. And the things that I said to people and the trouble that I got into, that's a horrible thing. Some people think it's cute to be drunk. It's not. Have you ever been sober and you've been around drunks? When I started to get my life right with God and started to walk with God, then I would go out with my buddies on the weekends, but I wouldn't drink. And I would be the designated driver, and I'd be there, and they'd be getting drunk. And I'd think to myself, surely I wasn't that much of an idiot, was I? And the answer was, yes, you were. You know, they're just acting like idiots. I heard of one man, he was talking to another man, and they were talking about alcohol, and he said to his friend, he said, well, you know, I drink vodka. He said, oh, yeah, why do you drink vodka? He said, well, if you drink vodka, people can't smell it on your breath. They don't know that you've been drinking. His friend said, well, if I were you, I'd drink something else. It'd be better for them to know you're drinking than to think you're stupid. Don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So there's a contrast, don't do this, but there's also a comparison, because when you are filled with the Spirit, it's like being drunk with wine in that you are controlled by the Holy Spirit. See, the natural thing for us to think is filled with the Spirit. It's like a glass, and the Spirit is being poured into you. And we want to go all the way to the top with the Holy Spirit. And the word means that, but here's the problem with thinking along those lines. The Holy Spirit is not a substance. The Holy Spirit is a person. So when you're filled with a person, It's not like he's water and he's coming in, oh, I have a lot of the Holy Spirit today, oh, I don't have very much of the Holy Spirit today, and he's coming like that. No. See, some people teach that when you get saved, you don't really get the Holy Spirit. You just get just kind of like initiated, but then you have to seek and pray and long for and desire to be, quote unquote, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And some people get that and some people don't. And when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was reading one book and they said, well, you know, a Christian is kind of like in a mist. If you think of the Holy Spirit like water, he's in a mist and he's getting a little bit wet, but not very much. But a Christian who's baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's a person who's in the downpour and they're getting all of this from the Holy Spirit. And so then you have the Christian have nots in the mist and the Christian haves, and they've had this experience and they say, well, you haven't had this experience. And so you need to seek this experience. They call it the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, according to Scripture, there is one baptism by Jesus into his Spirit, and that happens the moment that you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He's the baptizer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And John said, I baptize you in water, but another is coming after me, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus puts us in the Holy Spirit the moment we put our faith and trust in him. Nowhere in the Bible are we ever commanded to seek the indwelling of the Spirit, to seek the baptism with the Spirit, to seek anything like that. Scripture doesn't command us to do that. It commands us to be filled with the Spirit. And this is a command, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So sometimes you can get into semantics, and some people that say, well, you know, when you're in the downpour, well, what does that mean? Does that mean you've gotten a second blessing? It means you're filled with God's Spirit. It means that the Lord is in control. This is the Christ-directed life. This is a person who's received Christ, and Christ is on the throne. Christ by his Spirit. Remember we said, well, there's the Holy Spirit. It's a way to think of the Holy Spirit. He's Christ in the Christian, because he's another Jesus said just like me. So Christ in the Christian, Christ is on the throne, and Christ is calling the shots, and self is yielded to Jesus Christ. That's being filled with God's Spirit, being controlled with God's Spirit. He wants you to be controlled. That's understand what the will of the Lord is. That's how he wants you to live the Christian life, with Christ on the throne, with self off the throne, and with the Lord giving you power to live. Now, not only does God want you to live controlled by the Spirit, but God wants you to live continually yielded to the Holy Spirit. Here's the trouble we get into. We think that this Spirit-filled life is just a one-time zap. You know, because maybe we've been taught that. Maybe say you're struggling in your Christian life and somebody tell you, well, you know, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, because if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, wham, it's just a zap. And then all of a sudden you're out of the mist and you're into the downpour and everything has changed. And then that's all you need. That changes everything for all time. That's not true. That's not true. The scripture says in verse 18, in the Greek language, the way it's constructed, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be being filled with the Spirit. It's a continual, ongoing thing where the Lord says, hey, moment by moment, let me control you by my Spirit. Be being filled. It's not that you do it once and you're done. We know that for sure, because in the book of Acts, it talks about, and they were filled with the Spirit, and then again, and they were filled with the Spirit, and then again, they were filled with the Spirit. Why do you guys have to keep being filled with the Spirit? Well, because it's a continual moment by moment thing. See, it never says, and be baptized in the Spirit. Be baptized with the Spirit. Never tells us that. No. The Lord says, be filled with the Spirit. Because the moment I receive Christ, I'm baptized in his Spirit. For by one Spirit, he has baptized all of those into his body. And it's a continual thing. And it's a struggle for you and for me and for Billy Graham and for Chuck Swindoll and for Charles Stanley and for anybody else that you hold in high regard in Christian circles. It's a struggle because there's this thing, as we saw in the diagram, this thing called self. You know, self doesn't really like being dethroned. Self likes to call the shots. Self likes to say, well, I want to go where I want to go. I want to do what I want to do. I like to be in control. Lord, I like you to be in my life, but I want you to come alongside and just encourage me and help me, but I still want to control things. Well, that's not how it works. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Flesh and the Spirit, they start battling it out. There's a wrestling match inside of you as a believer. And you know what you're wrestling for? You're wrestling for control.
Today you heard part one of the lesson called Filled or Foolish from Pastor Jeff's series, The Unknown God, Discovering the Person and Power of the Holy Spirit. And you can find out more about this series when you go to fromhisheart.org. Hey, if you live on this planet, I have a news flash for you. You know that there is much to be concerned about in America and around the world. But here is another news flash with bigger news you may not have heard. Countless thousands of people have been won to Christ through Christian broadcasting, and millions have been inspired to live Christian lives that impact others more deeply. And more people have heard the gospel through From His Heart and other ministries this year than ever before. And there's so much more that we can do and need to do together in the year ahead. That's why we appreciate the faithful support you provide to this ministry each month that allows us to sustain the thousands of radio and TV outlets we're currently on around the world. And for your gift this month to say thanks, we'd like to send you the 9-message series, The Unknown God, Discovering the Person and Power of the Holy Spirit. And you can get it in the format of your choice. Also, with that gift, we'll not only send you the series, but also the companion booklet, The Divine Helper, Uncovering the Mystery and Ministry of the Holy Spirit, both for your gift today. Just call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org to make a secure gift. And request this month's special gifts when you do that today. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Larry Nobles, inviting you to be here tomorrow for part two of this powerful, practical, and honest lesson about what it really means to be filled with the Spirit. When we open God's Word and share real truth, love, and hope from His heart. There is truth, there is truth, there is love. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve. speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out about that. Go to FromHisHeart.org.